So we are recording. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so I'm Danielle Friend. I'm with my cousins and just gonna chat it up.
I don't know. Maybe our first topic could be about maybe like a struggle as a Black teenager.
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
You want to start us off?
Yeah. I mean, I could talk about based on experience, but I would also, Anivia, I want to get your input on it because you're 14. You're going through the stages right now. Yeah. So how does
youngest to oldest.
Yes. Okay. How does it feel to be a Black teenager? A Black girl? Growing up. That should be the title. Black girl growing up.
It's actually very hard because I am a teenager or whatever, and I am just getting into my teenage years, transitioning from being a little girl. But at the same time, I feel like I can't speak for all teenage girls in my age.
Well, let's just say, how is it for you being a Black girl, being a Black girl growing up?
It's hard. Stressful because everybody in my family wants me to do good,
be successful,
but when I'm not really following that path, they kind of like check out. You know, sometimes you need the motivation, you need someone to tell you, okay, it's all right, you're not doing good now, but we're gonna figure this out. And we're going to work on it together. You don't have to do it alone. I don't really get that. So it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's stressful. You go through a lot being a teenager. Especially a Black teenage female in the United States that we live in. The way that it's set up. It has it to where women, not only women, but we are women as women of color. It's harder for us to do a lot of the things that we would like to do. Because we are women and because we are colored. This world was not, the way that it was set up, it was not made for colored women to be successful. It was not made for us to
rise.
Go on in life and rise to be a higher power. We were meant to be the slaves of men. We're not supposed to be independent. We're not supposed to be strong. We're not supposed to be able to stand on our own or stand our ground.
But then those characteristics, strong, angry, and passionate,
is what
are
makes
associated
a Black woman.
Yeah.
A Black woman.
But then those things are used against us when we aren't using them in the quote unquote
correct way.
Yeah,
but there's no correct way to use them.
But how is it for you, a Black girl in school? How is it harder for you in school? Do you feel like you don't get as much help offered? And when you do ask for help, it's ignored? Okay, continue.
What was I saying?
I don't remember. Black girl in school.
Oh. Being with the area that we live in.
Yeah.
Is it a lot of...
It's a lot of...
Like
white people.
White people. Yeah. Rich white people at
That's
that.
That's like how Pensacola is.
So, I feel like it's kind of harder because, like, I remember one time I was sitting in class and we were talking about, I don't know, Muslim women. And you know how they have their
hijab.
Okay. I said that in class one time and this one girl tried to argue me down that's not what it was called. And I was like, I know what it's called. I looked it up and then I realized I was like, okay, I was right. She was wrong. So what are we going to do about this? And then I went to the teacher and I was like, I was right yesterday. And she was like, yeah, I realized that after you guys left. And I was like, oh, okay. And then she was like, we're going to have this discussion again today. So we had the discussion again. And when I said the exact same thing I said yesterday, I was right. But the teacher let the girl sit there and tell me, like, you're wrong. I don't understand where you're getting your information from. You don't pay attention in school. Da 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 da. But in reality, I had the right answer. The teacher knew I had the right answer.
But she didn't offend you.
Exactly. I wasn't offended.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I feel like it all depends on area and how people were brought up as a whole and as an entirety, as a community. And I just feel like
in this community that we live in, that in our school, the children, the people are very entitled.
A lot of white privilege, basically.
White privilege, they're very entitled. I was in school, and this girl, she was asking to the bathroom. She was like, no, not right now. And the girl was like, why? And I'm just looking, and I was like, because you can't go to the bathroom right now? Like, are you, I understand you need to go, but you need to still respect me. The teacher was a Latino, so that was also a big, you know, because they, yes.
Okay, I feel like she's racist.
Or would you say, don't say her name! Oh my gosh.
Or would you say, because Gabrielle, you know, she wants to major in Latin American studies. She needs to come in here and get in on this goodness. But she always says that people of color can't be racist. They can be prejudiced, because she always says, how are you going to be racist against yourself when you're of color? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I do think that has some truth into itself, because I mean, you guys know some Cubans, they'll come here, and some Cubans, I mean, they can be darker than me, or they can be lighter than me. They just look white, you know, and then I find that the white ones would be more conservative, more just having that entitled feeling. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'll add in.
Colorism.
That's at its best. And, you know, I feel like colorism is still here in America. It's alive and well today.
It's also in the black community.
It's in the black community. Yep. It's still overseas. You know, the Caribbean, it's still an issue.
I feel like black people have a lot of prejudice towards each other without knowing that they're being prejudiced. Like,
there was this big thing a couple years ago, hashtag like
dark skin.
I was like, what?
One of my cousins on my dad's side, she would hashtag everything team light skin. And one day, my sister was like, well, what does that mean for you? What do you think about all this? And she was like, well, it doesn't really matter to me. You know, we're all black, and all black is beautiful. But how do you say that when you're constantly separating yourself?
Contradicting, yeah.
You know, white people aren't like, oh, team pale skin and team paler. You know, no, they're not doing that.
But it also has to do with
slavery.
Feel like how white people, there was a house nigga, and then the other ones were outside. The black people who were inside working in the house had more benefits, so had lighter skin. So it's always viewed in that, in the black community, if you have lighter skin,
it automatically equals you're better.
And that's a lot. Even with white people, the paler your skin is, the more beautiful you are. Mm-hmm. And especially here in America, where there are a lot of Eurocentric characteristics, and if you have those, the small nose, the petite lips, you know, the big eyes, the petite body shape,
those type of things.
Those things are beautiful,
exactly,
especially with lighter
skin.
That's
why I try not to. I don't judge anyone. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to judge anyone.
It's not our place.
But I look at certain people, and I just be like, she thinks she's so beautiful, just because everyone tells her that she's beautiful, because what they view as beautiful could be, oh, she's skinny, she's tall, she has blue eyes, stuff like that. That's why when I look at certain people, I just be like, she is so pretty.
So anyway. Have you struggled with your confidence because of that thing, like as a black girl in school, even now in high school, in a completely different territory?
I have a lot, but
what did you do to overcome it? Do you think you've overcome it? Do you think it's something you're still going to battle?
I think I'm still battling it, because today I had like a complete meltdown before I got here. Mm-hmm. She was there. That's the only reason I'm here like I am now.
Yeah.
I struggle with a lot of things as a teenage girl. It's hard to get over it, especially when sometimes I feel like I have no one but myself. Although I know she's there, I just sometimes feel like I can't go to her, because I feel like if I go to her, then I'm making my problem her problem, and I don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Black women, black girls, we have to fight our own bodies.
I think we always carry that kind of pull yourself up because going back to slavery, at the end of the day, I feel like it'll always go back to slavery. And then when you get into the civil rights, when, you know, white women were able to, like, try to get equality for women, where we were past that. We were already mothers and working 2-3 jobs. That wasn't an issue for us until a long while later. And, you know, it's interesting talking to you guys because my mom and my sister, both of them being within that college history-ness, we always have this conversation, are you a feminist first or are you a black woman first?
I'm a black woman first. I'm a black woman before anything. And I will continue to be a black woman. But at the same time, I will stand for all women's rights.
Because will you be ashamed of your blackness? Will you question your blackness?
I don't question my blackness. Sometimes I might question my stability as a black woman. Sometimes I might question my place as a black woman. But I will never question being black or my blackness, because at the end of the day, my blackness makes me who I am.
Now I'm going to tell you guys something. A couple years ago, I struggled with accepting being a black girl because it was always pounding in my head about how I'm so mixed and mixed with all these things that make me beautiful, and that it was basically like the only reason I'm beautiful is because I look mixed about something. So it took me a really long time to accept being black. It took me a long time just accepting everything about the word black about me, and I feel like that can be a big struggle for black women. Sometimes we're often complimented upon certain characteristics that aren't black about us.
I remember growing up, like, my dad, his side of the family, they're Creoles, you know. He does not see himself as Creole. He wants nothing to do with the Latino side of him. He sees himself as a black man, and that's what America, well, some of America sees him as, because I have friends who are like, is he Hispanic? You know, we're in South Florida. People will come up to him and start speaking Spanish. You know, so for me growing up, I mean, my parents, they didn't have us in a bubble, but I never really thought about color until I got into middle school. And I was in this children's chorus, and one of the guys, we were at the roller skating rink one day, and he saw my dad, and then he saw my brother, who's very fair-skinned. His mouth fell to the floor because he just couldn't believe how they looked. So for the remainder of the year, he just would continue, are you Indian? Are you mixed? You can't be black. You have to have something else in you. You look kind of Asian. I mean, you just get it. And it's just like people don't understand that you can just be black and look this way. And my sister and I, we always have this conversation that we do like to include our Creole heritage. And we do like to add that. But as of today, I'm a black woman. That'll always be that. But I also like to add in the Creole side because that is also who I am. And I feel like you can find that, I mean, in this crazy time with Donald Trump as president, I feel like you can also find your own happiness within yourself and within your heritage, because that's who you are. You know, so many people just try to pass and do all this stuff, but it's like, if you could just accept everything that makes you you, I feel like that would just make the world a little bit of a better place.
And not only that, but I also feel like everything, like stereotypes, the wanting to, I feel as though white people judge black people for being black, but they want to act and do the things that black
culture
people do.
Vultures.
Exactly.
They just don't want the color.
They want to steal our culture, but not be our color.
It was so interesting being here in Arcadia. Today we were in Walmart, and this white guy had on a Poetic Justice shirt with Tupac on his face. Now, I don't know if you guys know who Queen is, the band. Well, I had on a Freddie Mercury shirt today, and I told my sister, I was like, isn't that funny? He's white, and he has on this Tupac shirt, and I'm black, and I have on this Queen shirt, and she was like, the role should be reversed, you know? And it's just, I don't know, that's interesting how it's like, you can listen to our music, you can put the braids in your hair, mm-hmm. you can wear this outfit, but at the end of the day, you're going to go back to your white privilege.
Yes.
Because a even if you are white trash.
Justin Bieber.
Exactly.
He came, and a lot of the black girls, we were so drawn to, loved him.
I didn't.
And
exactly. That was just
her. But I'm just saying, just example, yeah. like what's that song? I'm a, the Post Malone.
Post Malone.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, and I think it's easier to get over into our charts, and then mm-hmm. you go back and you're like, okay, yep. now I'm going to go to the white side mm-hmm. and be white. Because I think Justin Timberlake is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he came in, he had these R&B bops.
He had songs with Beyonce.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, he married Jessica Biel, she's white, you know, mm-hmm. and then his music has never been the same. So it's like,
see, okay. I don't have a problem with black men that like white women, mm-hmm. but I have a problem with black men that like women that criticize black women for being black okay. because they like white women.
So you don't have a problem with like a black guy?
I don't have a problem with interracial relationships. I liked the white boy one time, never again, but I did.
Yeah, and where we live, because it is so heavily based with military, mm-hmm. all you see is just interracial couples, and it's never mm-hmm. like a black woman and a white man. It's always mm-hmm. a black guy and a white girl. Mm-hmm. And I mean, at the end of the day, to each his own. But that's what you see. And
I've noticed, you know, that. I noticed that the more successful, often I see successful black men with don't really have black wives, they mm-hmm. have foreign mm-hmm. or yeah. white women. And even in the music industry, I received messages through Spirit. I'm very heavily, you know, into African spirituality mm-hmm. and learning the messages and letting Spirit talk to me. So last night I was letting Spirit talk to me, and Tank, for example, his songs, you see him, it's like he is an angel, he's singing, mm-hmm. he's so innocent. Mm-hmm. And then this video I saw him with Chris Brown, it's called Shots Fired. Mm-hmm. They were literal, just, it looked like demons. Mm-hmm. In the video, they, like, my connection kept pausing, and the internet was working completely fine. Mm-hmm. And his videos, before, there were more black women, and now there are more white women in his mm-hmm. videos. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, in order to be successful, in order to be...
In the music industry, you have to have with a white
woman. I don't know if you guys noticed, but it really, to me... And do you guys know who O.J. Simpson is?
Yes.
It started with him. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, because even in the NFL, these guys... I mean, the NFL is
the bigger
like
you get.
99.100 million% black.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And most of these guys are married to white women. Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you like, know? You have to appeal to white people to be successful.
I feel like the more...
That's what I feel.
The more successful our black men get, the more white women are going to come in and swoop them away.
You know, that's interesting. I have a hairdresser, and her nephew, he's like in... He was in band. He wasn't super athletic, but, you know, he was a cute friend. She said all he did was date white girls in high school. And she said his dad was like, look, I'm tired of you bringing these white girls home. Why are you doing this? He said, because the black girls aren't into me. They don't think I'm attractive. So the white girls, they think I'm attractive. So I want to be with someone who thinks I'm attractive and wants to go out with me. And I was like, you know, I mean, I get you.
Sometimes that's not the case.
But I don't feel like that's the case for everyone.
I get that. But also it has a lot to do with what you prefer in a female. Mm-hmm. If you've noticed... A lot of the times when you see a black boy with a white girl, the white girl is skinny, petite, long hair, blue eyes, very submissive. A lot of black women are not like that. They're bigger bone, big breasts. They have big eyes, big lips, big nose. Their hair is usually curly or kinky, coily. And they're not submissive. They're very dominant and independent. They like to stand on their own. That's why you always see a black woman saying, I don't need a man. Whereas you see white women, I want a man so bad.
Mm-hmm. And like where I live, it's always interesting because when you see an interracial couple, it's always the white woman driving the car. Mm-hmm. It's never the man driving the car. Because mm-hmm. I do feel like most of the time she will come for money. And if mm-hmm. not, I mean, then it's just the ones who are just white trash. But, mm-hmm. you know, I mean... I feel like most of the time, she'll come for money, she'll drive the car because it's her car, it's in her name, and he's just kind of there.
And yeah. I just feel like that's just the thing with America. when you come to America, the thing is to get a white girl. Yeah. You have to get a white girl. Mm-hmm. That you just, you're going to be on and popping once you get a white girl. And it's just like mixed babies are beautiful. And, and you know, babies are beautiful.
All babies.
You know, it doesn't matter, but it's just, it's just, it's just the thing. It's just, the whole thing is being a black girl.
Being black
in America
is wrong.
Is not even that. It is just hard. Mm-hmm. We don't, we aren't cared for.
We're overlooked.
We aren't in a lot protected of things. When oftentimes we protect. And at this point, me, I'm still growing up, and I'm actually going to be out and going into the world and experiencing it, and it's exciting. But
are you scared as a black woman for your own success and stability
and safety,
getting job and safety?
I'm very scared because any day someone can decide my life isn't worthy anymore. It's not because I'm black, because of the fact that I'm a black woman. I could, even black men too, but you know.
Mean Sandra Bland, and it's videos coming up that no one has ever seen before, and the police, my sister told me, they were like, oh, well, these are old. It's old evidence. It doesn't really matter anymore, you know?
It matters.
And I mean,
black,
I think.
Black girls just,
we go through a lot. And I, for myself, I mean, I think we all experience some type of colorism growing up, maybe prejudicism, maybe a little racism.
Sometimes we've experienced it with ourselves, too.
Yeah, you know, but for me, being in dance, I mean, I always remember just being the only black girl, you know, and at my studio now, it's me, and then my friend, she's mixed, but her mom's like really strung out, so her grandmother raises her, and her grandparents are white. So we connect, but it's just different. And then she's younger than me. Mm-hmm. And my teacher, she's actually originally from California by ways of Detroit. So she's been around people of color. And I mean, you know, she's white, but she's taken me into her life. I mean, we would rehearse in the morning. I'd ride with her to her house. Well, we pick her daughters up from school. Then I'd go to her house. I'd change there. And then she'd drive me back to rehearsal. But I think that's because she was just so open-minded, you know, where for some people, it's just, it's not there.
So has it, as a black girl who is into the arts, does it get kind of, what's the word? When you go into some place and it's just like
an audition?
Or you don't see black people, does it discourage you?
You know, when I went to my audition for the college I'm going to, in the program, it was one black girl who was really good. It was another one who I think was just kind of a minor, and she was okay. But in general, the whole program within itself is like 90% white, you know?
Do you think that you would be...
I mean, I've never had a problem.
Do you feel like if you were more... Okay. I'm saying this, like, as from a darker woman's skin tone point of view. Do you feel as though...
Opportunities
if you were darker in skin tone, your opportunities and the way that your, like, lifestyle and stuff has planned out would be different if you were darker toned?
You know, I've wondered that, and because at the end of the day, I do feel like my sister and I, and even you wear like the token look.
Yeah.
You know, it's like not big features, you know, small, light skin. It doesn't, you know, I feel like we're token. Whereas if I was darker skin, I mean, I don't know. I could only hope that my talent would prevail and would defeat all of that, and that wouldn't be an issue. You know, and that it would be like they're just looking at me as a dancer. But at the end of the day, I mean, does color play a part of the audition process? Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's why it's so amazing. Have you guys heard of the musical Hamilton? Mm-hmm. It's based off Alexander Hamilton. Well, the writer of that, Lin-Manuel Miranda, he's Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. He plays Hamilton. Hamilton is a cast of all people of color. I mean, black, Asian, Hispanic, I mean, you name it, you know, and I think we live in the time of that, so I would hope that it wouldn't change, you know, that people would just see that, wow, she has this talent, you know?
Because would you want, as a black artist, would you want to be surrounded by more Black artists?
I would love to, and I think that's why.
Do you think it would be easier?
I mean, I think relating to people, it would be easier, mm-hmm. you know, from hair, like mm-hmm. talk going into rehearsal, be like, girl, how'd you get your hair in that bun, you know? Mm-hmm. And there are studios, there are companies, Alvin and Ailey, that's basically people of color. And then Dance Theater of Harlem was created by Jerome Robbins, and he was African American. Mm-hmm. And that's basically an all African American company. And I do think that would be so nice to be surrounded by that. But when in the art world, specifically mm-hmm. dance and ballet, one, I don't know if you guys noticed, but it's not a lot of Black girls who do ballet. Mm-hmm. And my mom always says it's because of the money. It's because of getting the training. A pair of pointe shoes cost $100. Mm-hmm. Then you add in leotards, you add in the monthly fees, you add in all that. It's an expensive art form. It's mm-hmm. not cheap. And at my studio, there are other Black girls that are there. It's a little one. But then it's an older one, two older ones. She does musical theater, and then the other one does hip-hop. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, come join me. Don't go over there. You know, mm-hmm. we need more, because at my studio, I was the first Black Sugar Plum. And that's a principal role in the Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. And I was, when I performed it, I was just thinking, you know, it's not going to be another Black Sugar Plum for a long time here. Mm-hmm. You know? So, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, in the arts, I feel like we kind of push our kids more towards music because we have people like Beyonce and Alicia mm-hmm. Keys, mm-hmm. you know, and we're like, well, you can do that. But mm-hmm. when it gets down to dance and like the technicality of it and the money, I mean, it's expensive, mm-hmm. you know?
I feel like
being a talented Black woman is kind of hard. I feel like
in those types of worlds, art worlds, like musically, any type of art or just business, in general, I feel like a lot of Black women are threatened by mm-hmm. each other. That's why
there's a sense of competition. Yeah,
we have to compete.
I feel like we have to see which one gets more.
I feel like that's why we're not thriving how we could be right now. Because if all Black women put aside their differences, stop trying to compete with each other, we could be at the top. We could be one of the most powerful
organizations
ever, but really everything with us is a competition, and it's not a competition. Yeah. Everybody should be working together.
But ooh, there isn't. I feel like being a Black girl in America it can be easier if we use the internet to our advantage. Mm-hmm. If we educate ourselves, if we connect. Mm-hmm. We would be powerful.
Mm-hmm. We really would.
We would be powerful.
But then, don't you think it comes also from who raises you? Do you have people who support your Blackness?
Yes.
Or do you have people who are kind of
criticize it.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're kind of like, well, you need to get along, you know, and don't be foolish and all this other stuff. And at the end of the day.
And I feel like our parents shield us a lot from the outside world because they know how it is, but at the same time,
and also there's
the experience it, so we know how to handle it.
And there's also that thing where you're a girl, he's a boy, your brother can do that, you can.
It's mm-hmm. interesting you guys say that, because with where we live, a lot of people push up the daughters and they hold back the sons. Wow. And they're like, she needs to go, where the sons are just kind of like, okay. And that's actually from slavery, because the sons would get taken away because they were more of a profit for slave owners, with them being men and strong. Mm. You know, where with women, I mean, have the babies and everything, but they keep them back, or they push the sons back and then send the daughters mm-hmm. out, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I just think as a woman and then as a Black woman, it's just, it's so complex. It's such... Mm-hmm. Disillusion, you know, because
there's a lot of words.
It's so many words that could go into it. Yeah. You know, it really is.
Do you think it's just being Black in America?
I feel like it's just being Black in America in general.
So
not
is,
just for
if you don't
women.
Mind me asking, what's your experience been like?
Well, I've had a few people like when it comes to like them seeing me and her mm-hmm. in school or something. They'll question me, like, I'll say, oh, that's my sister. I just see my sister. And they'll be like, where? Looking for another, like, when I got to the school, I said I had a sister there, and they were like, oh, you do? And then they see me with another dark-skinned girl, and immediately, oh, that's your sister?
Mm. no, that's not my sister. And then she came to, I think it was the first time she came to lunch with me. That's when everyone realized that's her sister. Mm-hmm. And people were asking me, they were like, are you guys like blood related or yes. adopted yes. or something like that?
I was like black.
All black people siblings, have to be the same yeah, color.
Exactly. And it's exactly. like, it's not even like a thing, like we have different dads. We have different dads, but my dad is dark as hell. Mm-hmm. So it's not yeah. like,
it's know? Not that. She gets it from my, your she mom? Gets her yeah. color from our mom. Mm-hmm. I get my color from my dad. I took on a lot of my dad's traits for some reason.
I mean, genetics are funky. Mm-hmm. It happens, you know?
Like, if you look at my and siblings, we don't have we're black all different
people.
Colors.
I just yeah, need to get something across. Mm-hmm. Black people do not need to be mixed to be light-skinned, okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
We don't need, I hate we don't need to be mixed type. To have good hair. Yeah. We don't. Sometimes we just have it, and yeah. it's not because of other races being mixed in our family. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's just, we just, that's just something that we have, and it's... Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know why they equate light skin and beautiful. You know, with
like, I remember, you know. And then another experience I've had, like, I see, like, all the, like, white girls at my school, and they're, like, small, skinny. They have small boobs, mm-hmm. small butts, they have hips, a nice, you know, like, hourglass shape. And then there's me, like, I remember one time I was walking, and there was a white girl behind me, and she makes the statement, oh, her boobs are definitely fake.
Oh, yeah.
I looked back.
There's a lot of things with sexualizing black girls, yeah. too.
And I looked yep. back, and I was just kind of like, okay. And I looked at my friend, I was like, okay, how can a 14-year-old have fake boobs?
I mean, seriously. Like,
I was just like, it's a lot of things that, like, comes into play with being not just black, but female.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I feel like
sometimes in the black community, we also try to shut out body image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
we, you know, it's like, that's white. It's for someone who's privileged, yes. you know. But we suffer, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not always comfortable in our skin and mm-hmm. in our own bodies, yeah. you know.
Also mental health, too. But yeah. That's another podcast.
I mean, it's just, it's so interesting if you're saying that mm-hmm. it's an issue. And mm-hmm. it is. And I mean, mental. And I feel, and there it is. That's a mental illness there. You're not liking the way you are.
Body is
because but also, yeah. they've kind of put up on a pedestal what's okay.
Exactly. You know? And it's like, especially being in the household that I live in, mm-hmm. they hold us to a standard that because they're not big, we mm-hmm. shouldn't be either. Like, I have a stomach. I have a gut. I'm not scared of it. You know, yeah. some like when I first got here, I was so scared to show it off. I used to wear a jacket to school every day, mm-hmm. all because I didn't want my stomach to show because I was self-conscious of it. Yeah. But towards the end of the year, I kind of like, okay, you know what? Bump this. I'm not losing weight no time soon, so mm-hmm. I might as well just show it off.
And you know, that it's a whole other conversation mm-hmm. because that's like going through that transition from childhood to womanhood as a black woman.
Oh, you're
getting
my gosh.
These curves, you're getting these breasts that you've mm-hmm. never had before.
Yes.
You know, and...
And then there's just so much attention being mm-hmm. placed on it.
You because...
And, you know...
And you're like, oh, because I didn't know about yeah. this.
And in the black community, one of our relatives was just really big on weight, and she'd always be like, y'all are gaining weight. Or, like, to our cousins. Like, I have a cousin who just... could not lose 10 pounds. And she would be like, we're just going to pray the weight will come off. That's what she told her. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what does that do to your mental health? Like, not just your physical
exactly.
health.
Exactly. It breaks you down. And that's what people don't understand. They feel like mm-hmm. saying it repeatedly is going to bring it to your awareness. It's already of my awareness. Yeah. It's my body. I know when I'm losing weight and I know when I'm gaining weight. You bringing it to my awareness is only going to make me feel bad about it.
And,
it's
you know,
not going to help
in
it.
In the arts, body image, it is a thing. It is a thing we all talk about. You know, we always are trying to find ways to be lean mm-hmm. and to look nice and have that nice long line. Mm-hmm. Where that beautiful, nice long line didn't become a real thing until the 80s, mm-hmm. you know? So... Mm-hmm. It's always
and then also on social media, to appear on social media, you have to have the specific
body shape.
You have to have that tiny waist, big butt.
I'm just saying, abs, small boobs.
Excuse me.
And if you don't, it's not normal.
Normal women aren't. If you have big breasts, your breasts are going to sag.
Yeah.
And there's just no representation. I mean,
gravity is trying to help. It's not going to help you. It's just not
going to pull them down. You know, we have stretch marks. We have discoloration. We have acne. Yeah. We have skin. We have, you know, acne on our breasts sometimes.
We have patches.
And you know those veins, the varicose
veins. You get those.
We have, you know, the veins behind our knees.
We have cellulite.
We all do.
Sometimes we got extra toes.
Exactly. Yeah. But we're at the end of the day, we're still human. Mm-hmm. It's just we are black.
Yeah. And the crazy That's part why is it's bad. My good friend, she's like a toothpick. She has this really cute butt. We always tell her, your butt is so cute for you to be so small. And the thing is, she's always like, oh, I love your body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just crazy because it's always like we're looking at someone else, like what I want. And then they're like, but I want that from you, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's hard. I mean, it's hard being a black teenager, a black female teenager with your body changing, you know? And then when you're not around other black, is there other black kids at your school?
Barely.
They're, if they are, they're judgmental.
Are they, do they have money or they and stuck up?
They're entitled as well.
They're entitled. And not just that, but they feel like.
Whitewashed.
Yeah, they feel like you're black, but you haven't always been here, so they're not, they don't have to talk
down
to
for the cause, yeah. Basically.
So what is...
They feel like you're lower than them.
What is your advice? We're going to start with you. What's your advice for other black girls in America?
My own advice would be that only you can judge yourself. I mean, you can have the outside whispering in, you can have little voices in your head, but once you turn all that off and realize that God gave you your body for a purpose, you'll be okay. And I mean, it's hard. I mean, you know, especially when sometimes you're the only black girl at an event, you're the only black girl there, and you're counting the other black people, and you're like, but I'm the only girl here, you know? It's hard. I mean, it's not easy, but it can be done. Mm-hmm. It's been done before. Mm-hmm. You know, we've created some really great things in this community. We have Beyonce, and no one can take that away from us.
And Rihanna.
Oh, yes.
We'll take her too. You know? And I mean, it's like all the great things we have from people. It's just within us. When we find our own passion and something that we're good at, not what other people want us to be good at, but when we find what we're good at, whether that's healing people, making people beautiful, sharing your talent with the world, that's all you need.
Yeah.
You know? And that right there sounds like world domination to me. Just saying.
What's your advice?
My advice would be don't let anyone tear you down because at the end of the day, you are you. And you're going to be you until you die.
Yeah.
You're stuck with
your blackness.
And when when you start growing up and going through puberty and all of that, don't let anyone tell you that your body parts are ugly. Don't let anyone discourage you. Don't let anyone deface you from your dreams. Don't let them tear you down at all because you are a black woman. You are strong. And you will continue to be strong until you find someone or something that just makes you even stronger than you already are.
Mm-hmm.
We stand in the world that we live in, black women most often stand alone because that's what we're good at. We're good at being independent. We're good at being by ourselves. We don't need anyone to fend for us. So my advice is just be yourself. Go for your dreams. Don't let anybody change you, your attitude. And don't let anyone make you feel like you being black or anything about you is wrong because you were made that way for a reason and we all have a purpose.
And what's your advice, Miss?
The only advice I have for black girls is to... It's okay if you're not proud of your blackness right now, but start your journey.
Yes.
Because it's not the easiest, but once you get there, it's worth it. And I just stay true to your blackness, honestly, because it's nothing like it. Nothing. Yeah. Nothing else like it.
Yeah.
You know, oftentimes we're shamed for our blackness. We're shamed for our black accents. We're shamed for our big noses. Mm-hmm. We're shamed for color. Yes, we're just shamed. And I would just say, take proud in that shame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, become proud in that.
Yeah.
That's it. Be happy in your blackness.
Mm-hmm. This is so fun. I don't want it to end.
All right. So,
that, I mean, it's about 40 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, okay. That concludes our podcast. This is Anivia, Deja, and
Danielle.
I hope you guys enjoyed. Yeah.
And I hope we
help some people. Exactly. We help some black girls.
Because black girl magic is real.
Exactly.
Yes.
It exists.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this. We're gonna probably there's gonna be some more episodes out, but you know, mm-hmm. No. But
we'll probably just video chat.
But I guess I don't know if I have my social media linked or anything. But you know, I don't know. Just be black, okay? Yeah. That's it. Bye.